May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart always be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Today I'll direct you, first of all, for this sermon, to the first page inside the bulletin. The title that we've received says, Living Lent, the Dove Reveals an Angry Savior. You ever seen an angry dove? Seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? An angry dove. How can a dove reveal anger? All of them that I've met have been pretty gentle, innocent little creatures. In fact, that seems to be what the Bible says right and left about doves. If you read in Genesis chapter 8, for example, with Noah, when he was out on the sea, when the world was covered with water, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot. She returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still in the face of the whole earth. He waited another 7 days, again sent the dove out of the ark, and the dove came back to him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth, a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. So here you have a double whammy. You have not only the dove returning, but with an olive leaf, peace upon peace, for the waters had subsided, and it showed that God's wrath had ended, and there was the dawn of a new age for Noah. You also have other places in the Bible that speak of doves as symbols of peace. For example, Jesus in Matthew 10, verse 16 says, Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Right. So it's a symbol of innocence. How about Jesus' baptism? In Matthew chapter 3, we saw a dove there where the Holy Spirit descends from heaven like a dove upon him, symbolizing peace. In fact, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So it's pretty appropriate, I think, the Holy Spirit should descend in bodily form as a dove. So where do we get an angry pigeon? Which it can also mean pigeon. Well, the place we can find a dove telling us of an angry Savior is in our gospel lesson for today from Matthew chapter 21. You can either turn there with me, or as most Lutherans, you can just listen. Okay? We may have a few closet Baptists out there. You can open your Bibles. Okay, so Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, it says, And Jesus entered the temple of God and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons or doves. It's the same word in the Greek. He said to them, It's written, My house should be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers, he says. You know, as I was looking at this passage and pondering it, what makes it singular over against all the other passages of Scripture is this is the only place I know of, and I'm quite sure of it, where Jesus physically uses his body in a violent fashion. Isn't that amazing? You know, he has harsh words against people sometimes. Once he withered a fig tree by his word of power, but he never took up his hands to do violence to anything, except here, and he did it twice. He cleansed out the temple, and as it's written in John about this same incident, it says, he was fulfilling the scripture, zeal for thy house will consume me. And so we see that a dove actually does reveal an angry Savior, in a sense, doesn't he? Because here is the one time in all of Jesus' ministry where he was so infuriated that God's house, which would be a house of prayer, a place, and this is the outer court of the Gentiles, where all poor and rich should be welcomed to be a place of praise and glorying in God and calling upon his name, had become a place for the making of money, money, money. You think there are times when our Lord is angry these days when he looks at the church? Finds people making a fast buck off the church, using it to turn a good profit, maybe embezzling a certain hundreds of thousands of dollars from the church. You can think also of Ananias and Sapphira. How about that as an example of our Lord, when Lord's anger, when they came and lied about their money in the place, what was to be called the house of prayer before Peter, and they were both slain in a moment's time by the Lord's anger. So let's talk about God's anger for a minute, because we are in a relationship with him, right? We have a daily relationship with our Creator. We want to know what kind of a God he's like. And it would be good for us to try to understand what he's like with respect to his anger. So let me ask you this question. God's anger, is it slow or quick? Slow? How many say slow? How many say fast and quick? Okay, how many? Okay. Anybody hold their hand up for both? Okay, there you go. Neil's got two hands. He's very confident. Okay. As you know, there's got to be a trick question in there somewhere, but I would say certainly both. He is quick to anger and he is slow to anger. So let me give you some examples of that. For example, let's look at God's quickness to anger. Take, for example, Leviticus chapter 10. Just imagine this is you, okay? In the Old Testament times, you are the children of Aaron the priest. Your names are Nadab and Abihu. As if that's not bad enough. Then it says in Leviticus 10, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took a censer, put fire in it, and laid incense on it, and offered unholy fire before the Lord, such as he had not commanded them. And fire came forth from the presence of the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord said, I will show myself holy among those who are near to me, and before all this people I will be glorified." So there you see one mistake, one unholy act as a priest before God, and whoosh, evaporated, basically, or incinerate would be a better word. The Lord's anger burned quick at that moment. Here's another one where God spares them from this fierce anger. He says in Exodus 33 that he tells Moses to go up to the promised land, but he says, "I will send my angel before you. I'll drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you, lest I consume you in the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." How about that? God actually says, "I am quick to anger, and if I were to go up in the midst of Israel, you'd all be consumed. I'd destroy you all. So I'll send my angel before you instead of being in your midst." So the Lord, our God, can be quick to anger. Let me give you one more example. This is the psalm most quoted in the New Testament as referring to Jesus the Messiah. Psalm 2, and we read this just a few minutes ago when I failed to let Carolyn play the song before we... At any rate, Psalm 2, where it says, "I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said, 'You're my son, today I've begotten you.'" And verse 10, "Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, with trembling kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him." So would you say, based on these, that the Lord's anger can be quickly kindled? Yes, as a matter of fact, very surely. And so today, on this third or second week of Lent, it would be wise for us to remember that our God is a holy God. Something modern culture seems to have forgotten, watering everything down to make Jesus just tiptoe through the tulips. But if we read the scriptures and we believe them, we see that he is a holy God. He can get angry, and his wrath can be quickly kindled. And when he unleashes it, it is all destruction. And so this would advise us to, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, let us therefore offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe or fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So, are you with me? On the one hand, we have God's anger is quickly kindled. He is a holy and living God and is not one to be trifled with or treated like he is just a pansy. He is the holy God of heaven and earth. So, is this where God wants to leave us, though? Trembling fear? But I'm not sure I've really quite done that yet today. Have I really convinced you that God... Are you trembling in fear yet? You know, so one of the... Maybe, yeah, I'm just going to step back for a second. I don't think I've quite done that yet. Because I think we need to really understand that. That God is holy. And why don't we realize that God is holy? Let me give you a couple ideas. First of all, because we don't read the Bible enough. Second of all, we read the Bible, but we don't believe the Bible enough. Or thirdly, it could be, as it says in Ecclesiastes 8, because sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set to do evil. You know, just because God doesn't execute his wrath quickly and fiercely like that, and he saves it for the great day of the Lord, we think he doesn't care. It's no big deal. I haven't seen him act on any of these things. And so we can be lulled into a sense of unholiness, a lack of reverence for God, a lack of fear. But I just counsel you today, listen to the scriptures and believe them. His wrath is quickly kindled. So there you go. I'll leave you there. You're on your own for the rest of that. But is this where God would have you stay? In trembling fear before him? Because also it says in the Holy Scriptures, in Psalm 103, a word of comfort. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And as he says in John 8 to the adulterous woman, has anyone condemned you? No one, Lord. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again. And when John saw the Lord in the book of Revelation, he said, do not be afraid. It is I. I'm the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And you know, when the disciples would come and see Jesus, a lot of times his answer was, do not be afraid. Such as when they were out on the sea and they thought a ghost was walking toward them. And they were frightened, and he says, it is I, do not be afraid. And also, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. So what's going on there? Which one is God? Is he quick to anger or slow to anger? The answer is both. So why then do we have both of these presented to us in the scriptures? I'm going to give you what I believe is to be a key to understanding this. It's called law and gospel. That is, if the scriptures are talking to somebody who has no fear of the Lord, who is arrogant, who is confirmed in his own sins, God's words are not tender and calm, but harsh, saying, fear me, my wrath can be quickly kindled. But then, for those who have heard that word, been humbled, and have gone into terror before the Lord, he has only the words of kindness, meekness, and mercy towards you. And this is also very clearly expressed in Luke chapter 12. He says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. And then once you're terrified by that, what's he say in the very next line? He changes totally and says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? and not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. And so, what should we do then? Should we fear God or not fear him? Answer is yes. Fear him, for he is the holy God, whom we should serve with reverence and awe, for he is a consuming fire. But also don't fear him, for he is the merciful God who has sent his Savior, Jesus Christ, to deliver you from his wrath and from his anger ahead of time. And this is my final word then. This is what Jesus Christ came to do. Let's rejoice in him today. On the cross, he took all of your sin upon himself, and therefore also all of God's wrath, his anger, and his overflowing fury that should have been yours, Jesus took himself, so that you now might be spared entirely from his anger, welcomed as his child, called to his breast and his warm embrace, and in prayer you can go to him without fear and live with him in love. As it says in 1 John 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. So in conclusion today, is there such a thing as an angry pigeon? I don't think so. But the pigeons, the doves in the temple have shown us the great wrath of our God against sin, but they also direct us to the great peace and love of our God and Savior for you. So rejoice in your God today, who loves you and has called you to be his own. Amen.